Let me take this.
Go ahead.
Well, Barney just shared about, we've been talking for the last few weeks about our words, right? And the importance of those words, the power of those words. And I kind of have focused into today as the thing I want to teach last is we need to understand not just the power of our words, but where our words come from. And our words come from thoughts. What do you think upon? What are you feeding your mind? The thoughts begin before the action is taken. The thought happens, and it will connect to everything that motivates you, affects you, or has a purpose spiritually from the adversary, or a purpose of God's Spirit working within you to bring about the greatest choice you can make. But we have to choose the thoughts that we keep in our minds and the thoughts that we act upon. So thoughts are very, very important. Where are your thoughts? What are we feeding our minds? We know that words are powerful. Look at Genesis. In the beginning, God did what?
Created.
God created. And how did God create it? You know what the word says? God said these specific words 9 times in the verses, Genesis 1:3 through the end of the creation, 31. 9 times. Then God said. And every time God said something, every time he spoke it, it became the truth. Every time. Now think about that, okay? We also know Satan used words, didn't he? Lying words, actually. Anything that comes out of Satan's mouth that contradicts God's word, which is everything he says and does, will affect you if you allow it. If you let that thought linger in your brain and you consider it, that's what Eve did, right? Eve's mistake was she engaged in a conversation with Satan. And the first thing he did was he said, did God really say? Did he really say that? She engaged, and she engaged with that thought. She had to think what he was saying to her. She had to consider it. And that's what happens with every thought that is put into our mind. In Matthew 4:3, the devil didn't change. This is where Jesus Christ goes into the wilderness and comes back out. And what does he say? He speaks words to Jesus Christ. If thou art the Son of God, if you're really the Son of God, he tries to use the same manipulating trick on Jesus Christ that worked in the garden thousands of years before. Nothing new with him. Nothing new. His tricks are the same, but he's very, very manipulative, and he's very subtle. But God had already told Jesus Christ who he was. God had already said, remember when he got water baptized publicly, he proclaimed who Jesus Christ was. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That's in Matthew 2, Matthew 3. Look it up, guys. Matthew 4:3-11, Jesus shows us clearly how we should handle lying thoughts of the devil. That whole section where he's in the wilderness, he comes back out. I want you guys to look at some of this. In Matthew 4:3-11, Jesus Christ deals head-on, person-to-person, with Satan. You and I deal with his spirits, his angels, his people in charge. We don't usually deal flat in face with the devil. Jesus Christ did. And this is how he handled it. We need to think upon that. We need to read those scriptures, and we need to say, God, show me how to walk like that in my life. Show me how. Shelley, great example. show me what to do, God. And it wasn't this big, huge thing, this let's part the Red Seas today, or today you're going to go over there and that guy who's never walked before is going to walk leaping and praising me. Those things are awesome and great, and they're definitely of God. But you know what? It's the day-by-day thought that you let linger in your mind that makes the decisions on how you're going to live your life. God says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. That's the word of God. That's the truth. Yet how many times have you doubted that about yourself? How many times have you chosen to act upon the thought, you know what, I blew it. You know I should be doing something here. I know I should be going to fellowship. I know I should be reading the word. I've blown it. You know, I got to get myself back together with God. I can't do all these things He's asking me to do. How many times have you done that? You know where that thought started? Right up here. God's word, the truth says, that we have Christ in us. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What thought are you now going to act upon? Are you going to cast aside the little shoulder thought that says, but yeah, but what about this, Vicki? Yeah, but do you remember that, Vicki? And then you start thinking, oh, God, that's true. Jeez. Man, I was so wrong. I was so bad. God, you just got to forgive me first. You got to let me feel that forgiveness. I have so many things I need to do before I can. No. See, that's where your emotions, your feelings, your past mistakes, your past victories, He will use against you with a thought planted in your mind. Emotions affect what you're going to believe. And the adversary will use your emotions. Something from your past that was bad. Something you're afraid of right now in your life. Not really built up in the faith yet in that area. Something that you feel guilty about. Something that you've never forgiven yourself for. Something you've never forgiven somebody else for. Maybe you don't abundantly share. Maybe you just think it's not a big deal. And yet the Word of God says it is. So you know what the devil's going to do? He's going to remind you, and then he's going to tell you how bad you are at it. So that you will begin to agree with him and continue to walk out like that. And it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if it's forgiveness. It doesn't matter if it's your own shortcomings. You guys, it starts with a thought. A little thought. We need to understand that the enemy works that way. We need to understand that God says he was subtle. In the garden, did he not say that?
Mm-hmm.
Than any beast of the field, right? It's in Genesis. Read it. Well, subtle is an adjective. And it's used especially to change or distract someone. It is so delicate or precise given to you, it is difficult. The method that is used in being subtle is the method that it becomes difficult for you to understand what is in the best interest of what's happening. That's what the word subtle contains. It's an adjective. And that's how God describes the devil. So when he puts those thoughts in your mind, it's going to be subtle. He's not going to be blatant and just come right out of the wall at you most of the time. Now, sometimes he will, because fear works on some people. But most of the time, it's going to be right up here. He uses our five senses. And our five senses can touch every area of our lives. Just like I said, stuff that happened when we were children, he will bring to your remembrance. Ever happened to you? And then how long do we sit there and think about, oh gosh, man, I've thought about that in ages. Oh, that's so true. Oh my. See, it's not a magic wand. We don't have a magic wand. God doesn't have a magic wand. God has this, His Word. And this is how we get to know Him. This is how we get to know we have His Spirit in us, which is another way He communicates with us. But if our thoughts are not lined up with this book and our hearts are not lined up with the Spirit of God that lives within us, because our behavior from the thoughts we think we choose to walk differently than what God says we should walk, then the power of God is limited in our lives. And we don't want that. It's not a magic wand. You don't get born again, all of a sudden you make all the right choices and all the right decisions. You get born again, you get the Spirit of God within you, and God gives us His Word. And then we begin to work with God. He is our companion in this. We are workers together with God, His Spirit within us. So we choose. And that's the biggest point I want to make today in this thought category. And we're going to look at scriptures of how important God says it is to guard our thoughts. Because out of it come the issue of life. But we always, and don't get deceived by this. Don't get deceived. We always have a choice. God never sets us in a situation where we don't get to choose. Now, what is our choice going to be? The thoughts that somehow aren't in alignment and harmony with God's Word that I've allowed to build a habit in my life at? Or do I change my thought? Do I align myself with God's Word and walk out on the greatness of the Word? It's always your choice. It's always my choice. We can't, you know, we really can't even blame the devil. Because God put the devil under our feet. Is that not true?
Amen.
It's what the Word says, right? I mean, I'm referring to a lot of scriptures. I'm hoping some of you are recording this in your brain and we'll go back and look some of this up. He put him under our feet. He cannot mess in our lives spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, unless we make the wrong choice, which allows him the room to operate. Our thoughts are important, mighty important. We've been taught, almost everybody in this room, if not everybody, where's the battlefield? What happens first in your mind? Is the action the first thing that comes to your mind? No, it's the thought. It's the thought. And then all of those areas that devil likes to play with, your five senses, seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, feeling, can be manipulated by a thought or a sentence or just a reminder of something you did. We don't have to live like that. It is important for us to take our thoughts and line them up with God's Word. Look at Luke chapter 6. Well, actually, I want to read Proverbs 4:23, then we'll go to Luke. I want you to see what God says about controlling these thoughts, our minds. Keep your heart with all diligence, Proverbs 4:23, for out of it springs the issue of life. We know heart means the innermost part of man where the decisions are made. There is a difference between being tempted. I get a thought. The temptation is there. The temptation not to do what I know the Word says I should do. Okay? So you take that thought and you go, no, and you replace it with the Word of God. That's not sin. Sin happens when you dwell upon that thought, and you think upon that thought, and you question that thought, and you have now engaged yourself in a conversation with a spirit being you cannot see, but He is working through your thoughts. Believe it. It's true. So guess what? Stop. Go to God's Word. What does God say I should do? Change what you're dwelling upon, and you will change your action. If you continue to dwell upon the negative, if you continue to dwell upon the problem or the circumstance or how you're feeling that day, I just feel like crap today. I can't help. I woke up, I felt like crap, so I'm going to have a crap. No, come on. All of us wake up feeling like that, but what are you going to do with that? Don't let it be the decision of your day. Don't let it be how you treat yourself and other people. Stop that. Go to God's Word. Okay, Luke 6:45. It is important for us to take our thoughts and line them up with God's Word before we act on them. You know, when you make a mistake and you realize you've made a mistake, is it easier to back out of that mistake then or if you continue down that road because you don't want anyone to know, or you think you can fix it on your own, or it's a change, it's going to change down the, you just get deeper into that habit, you know? And that's a lot of times what happens to us in our sonship rites. We're righteous. We're sanctified. We're justified. We can stand before God Almighty without any sin consciousness. Now, I have not done that perfectly in my life yet. And I've been doing this since 1975, and I have not perfected that. I still don't feel righteous sometimes. But I am much better at catching that and going, no. Okay, I'm going to go to the Word. I'm going to read what Jesus Christ did for me. How many times have I read that in the book of Ephesians? Many, many, many times. But I don't always believe it. So I got to control my mind, my thoughts, my actions, my responsibility. Go here. Pray. And if that doesn't work, call some brother or sister that you know won't just give you a, okay, it's all right, it'll get better. Somebody that will speak the truth of God's word to you. Somebody that will fight for you. Somebody that sees, man, the adversary's got her running in a different direction. I'm, no way, that's my sister in Christ. I'm speaking the truth in love to her. I'm building her up. Devil, get out of my way. You have no right. You know, God says in his word that that blesses him when we do that. When we fight and have unity with one another. And for one another, and with one another, God in his word says that melts his heart. Don't let the devil talk you out of who you are. And yes, our words are important, but our words start with our thoughts. How am I going to build somebody up with my words if my thoughts are negative all the time? Not going to happen. I need to have God's word in there. So Luke 6:45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, what speaks? So if you've gotten up in the morning and you feel moody and out of it for whatever reason, and you start thinking about how bad your life is and how hard it is, and why isn't God doing this for me, and gosh, God, I've prayed and prayed and prayed. You better stop yourself, because you're not going to hear what you want to hear from God. Trust me. You won't. You'll get all locked up in these negative thoughts that the adversary is spinning and turning, and at the same time are those thoughts you're having are messing with your emotions. He's messing with you. Tell him to back off. He has no right. No right. And then if you can't get it together, call somebody that will help you get it together. Call me. I'm known for kicking ass. Oh, sorry. I'm known for
kicking ass.
What am I known? No, I'm just kidding.
Behinds.
You know, I love God's people. And I probably fight harder for God's people than I do myself sometimes. So sometimes I need somebody to come to me and say, hey, get it together. You know what? I love that. I respect that. Speak the word to me. When we're bold enough to fight for each other, don't get mad because someone confronts you or whatever word you want to stick in there, talks to you, confronts you, tries to love you. Depends on how you look at it. You know? What's your thought? Oh, they're just judging me. No. Back off. That's not what I'm doing. That's not what God directs us to do either. Look in Romans 8, 5, verses 5 through 7. Remember, a negative thought's not the sin. The sin is dwelling upon the negative thought till you act upon that negative thought. That's the sin. And that's quickly forgiven if you just recognize it and ask for forgiveness. God is so good to us. He has made it so easy. I mean, come on. Really? People? He has made our lives so much easier than it could have ever been without him. And yet we get talked out of it because of the things we think and dwell upon in our minds. Okay, Romans. For those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. And what is the flesh? Your five senses, your emotions, your feelings, your desires, your thoughts that don't line up with God's word. That's fleshly stuff. Okay? But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and what?
Peace.
So if you're not peaceful, something's wrong. So get your Bible out and start looking at the word peace so God can show you how to receive that peace. That's how you fight the spiritual battle. You go to the Word of God. You stand before your Father. You talk to Him. You look at His Word. You receive into manifestation in your heart, the innermost part of you, that Word of God, because that's where you make the decision from. And if that Word is here in that inner part of you, you'll make the right decision. If it's just for show, if it's just out here, say, oh yeah, she's such a good Christian. You know what? We're going to get our tushes kicked every time if that's what we live like. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Think about that one. Romans 12, 2. Who are we going next? Romans 12, 2. Remember, this is about your thoughts. This is what considering your mind. What do you do with your mind, your thoughts? Romans 2:12, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. When we are renewing our minds, what are we supposed to renew our minds to?
The Word of God.
Because that's how you prove the Word of God in your life. The transformation doesn't take place because you read a scripture. The transformation doesn't take place in evidence in our lives because we get born again. There's no magic wand. You have to renew your mind. We have to line up our thoughts with God's word. We have to believe the things of God to prove those things in His heart for us so that we see those manifested in our life. And if you dwell on negative thoughts, if you dwell on bad situations, if you dwell on the past, remember God says forgetting those things which are behind. There's a reason He says that. So the devil can't use it against you down the road. Okay, so Colossians 3, chapter 2. There are pages flipping. That sounds nice. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of this earth. And where do we understand and learn the things above? God's word. That's where we set our mind. That's where we set our thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10. Verses 3 through 5. And I'm using the New King James Version, so if it reads a little different, that's why. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So what are thoughts that are not lined up with God's word?
Carnal.
They're carnal. But see, our weapons are not carnal, so our thoughts need to be godly thoughts. But mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. And a stronghold is where the adversary, our enemy, has a hold on you in that category for some reason, somehow. And that stronghold can be broken when you look to the things of God and you go to God and you start claiming the Word of God in your life. That's why if you stop it when it's a little thought in your brain, and you don't ever let the adversary convince you that even a tiny bit of it is the truth, it will never be a stronghold in your mind. You want to get rid of the things that control you emotionally, physically, spiritually? Break those strongholds down with the truth of God's Word. Get yourself into the Word as much as you need to be into the Word every day of your life. until God releases that power of the Spirit of God inside you, because you've decided to break the stronghold, not give in to the thought temptation, and be powerful with the Word of God just bursting forth from your thoughts about yourself. How do we truly help someone else and minister someone else if we carry these burdens in our heart? We gotta be the example. When I look in the mirror, I want to look in the mirror that morning. I want to go, you know what, Vicki? You are who God says you are, and you believe it. Now you go out there and you live it, and you get somebody else to believe it today. I want to walk like that every single day of my life, all day long. I still got work to do. But you know what? God does not give up on any of us, does it? Does he? Okay, verse casting 5. I want to read that one. Casting down. Who casts it down? And how do we cast it down? With the Word of God. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of what?
Christ.
He lives within us. He lives within us. All we have to do is say, okay, God, help me shine that Christ through. I want Christ to be what everybody sees when they see me. I want that love. They may not recognize it. You know, your friend at the grocery store may not recognize what Barney and Joe did for them was the love of Christ, the love of God. The compassion of Christ filled their hearts. They don't know this person, but the Christ in them has that compassion. That compassion is available to each one of us. If you don't think you're a compassionate person, you're believing a lie. If you don't think you're a bold person, you're believing a lie. And remember, God doesn't lie. Who lies?
Yeah.
And that's all the kind of words he has is lying words. If you don't think you're righteous, that you're believing a lie. Cast that thought out. Go to the Word and read about your righteousness. Jesus Christ did not die in vain, did he?
Nope.
No. And we can't let the devil think that that's how we really look at it, because we just believe anything he tells us. Yeah. He is evil, and he is nothing but pure evil. And when you believe something that is contrary to the written Word of God that you know in your heart, you are believing a lie of the devil. And I don't want him in any part of my thinking, personally. It's really helped me, too, when I, you know, working on this. I was like, get in there.
Absolutely.
I mean, really, I was looking at my own life going, you know what? Yeah, get out of there, you know? Philippians 2:2-4. Fulfill ye my joy by being like-minded. I told you guys this earlier. Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. Let each of you look out, not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. God wants us to take care of each other. That's why he put us in a family. God reproves those that he loves. The Bible is doctrine, reproof, and correction. Why are we so hesitant to fight for one another? Now, there's a nice way to do it. You don't get out and get in people's faces, you know? But you got to be honest. You got to be honest with the Word. If you see somebody getting their butt kicked by the devil, just pray for them, talk to God about it, and God's going to have you help them at some point, some way or another. Maybe it's only going to be prayer. Maybe that's all that's needed in that circumstance. But when you see this, stop your mind. Oh, that was bad, man. I can't believe that came out of her mouth. And she's That is the devil trying to get you to think thoughts of judgment so you will do nothing to help your brother or sister get back to where their hearts need to be. And I'm telling you, I don't care how bad I ever get, I hope that there is somebody that will fight for my life even if I walked out the door and said, I'm done with this. Some of you better come after me. Because I need that. If I chose something, you know that's contrary to me, right? So when we see each other getting deceived, it's not that person that you fight the devil. You go to that person with love, compassion, and the boldness to speak the word to them so that that thought gets blown to smithereens before it can become a dang habit in our lives, a stronghold that we just don't need, right? Look at Philippians 4:8. Many of these you guys know. I mean, I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not reproving this whole group of people. That's not my heart at all. I just see the devil in our society messing with so many people's minds and hearts that don't have a clue, okay? And then I see some of my brothers and sisters kind of giving in. I'm not talking about anybody in this room. Giving in to some of the things the world's accepting. Other Christians that I love, that are my relatives. And I'm like, no, don't go there. You know, God tells us, do not get entwined with the things of this world. It is not okay to do a gay marriage, okay? It's wrong. Now, I'm getting a little heated, but you guys know me, so I can do that. But when you talk to somebody else, you got to, yes, God loves everybody, but there are certain things that have very deep consequences to them that are contrary to God's word, and God doesn't want you involved in that. If you choose to do that, I can't stop you. I still love you, but don't ask me to come to your wedding and then your feelings get hurt, because I won't. I don't believe it's honoring God. Why can't we as Christians just stand up for that? Instead of, okay, well, let's let people get married in the gay church now. No. You guys know what I'm talking about. That's just an example. I had to deal with it, Norman, so that's why it's on my head. But anyway, finally, brethren, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are what?
True.
And who speaks the truth to us? And who lies?
Devil.
So you got to have this Bible in your head and your heart to know sometimes he's pretty subtle. It'll be hard to discern, is that really what God said? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is any praiseworthy, meditate, think on these things. That's what meditation is. It's holding the thoughts of God in our mind, thinking about them. And if we're thinking about them, and we're dwelling in them, and they're living in our heart, then our actions are not going to be contrary to God's word, are they? We're going to have boldness. We're going to have joy. I mean, if you wake up and you're not joyful, man, stop that thought. Hey, whoa, nope, get out in the name of Jesus Christ. God has given me the joy of a Savior. And I have that hope in my heart no matter what my day looks like or how I feel. And I'm not going to stay in that spot. Why can't, you know, we need to do that for ourselves so we can do it for each other. With that happy little heart that God gives us. Many times the evil one will use facts. This is the fact. You have cancer. There's nothing I can do for you. We've done everything we can. Is that a lie?
Yes.
Not according to the world. That's a fact. But according to God's word, what is that?
A lie.
Now, I wouldn't say, well, you're a liar, doc. I mean, I wouldn't even bother. I'd say, thank you. I understand where you're coming from. But I have a higher power I'm going to be talking with. We speak the truth in love. And we accept the truth. Not what the world says. Not what doctors say all the time. I mean, sometimes doctors are, like Barney said, I was glad that came out. Because there are times when, like with Katie, there's a procedure that's simple and it will help her. And God gave her the right doctors at the right time in her life. And praise God for that. But when they say, we've done all we can do, you're right, you have, but God's not done with me yet. That's where our minds have to go. They're not being mean people. They're dealing with the facts as they know them. We deal with God's word as we know it. So we just say, thank you, God bless you, see you in a couple years. Many times the evil one will use facts, information, our emotions and feelings to manipulate us into confessing the lie he is trying to sell us. But God always speaks the truth to us. Never forget, we all of us make the choice. We choose whether to dwell in that thought or we choose whether to change that thought. The battlefield really is in the mind, and it becomes evident in the senses realm when we blow it up here. Then the battle rages. Once you let it go from the thought process to the action process, it's a lot harder to get yourself lined up with God again. You can make all kinds of excuses for yourself or for each other, you know. But if you stop it up here, the strongholds never build. The easier it becomes to be who you are in Christ every moment of every day. God always speaks the truth to us. We make the choice. Who and what are we going to believe? The lying facts of Satan or the truth of our faithful, loving, compassionate, merciful, without a doubt, complete God, the one true God of the heavens and the earth? What do we hold in our heart? His words, his thoughts, his desires, or do we believe the lying devil and his facts and information? That's really our choice. And you know, we've talked a lot about words the last 6 weeks, haven't we? We really have. But now, I want you to remember that those words that finally come out of your mouth, with good or bad, are going to start with a thought. And if you can catch it when it's a thought, you can kill it before it becomes a lying action in your life. We don't want to be lying action people. We want to be God believing, caring, loving, compassionate people. And it all starts with a thought. So that's what I wanted to share.